Good morning, everyone. The Senate Education Committee meeting is called to order. Today is Wednesday, March 24th. The time is 9:02. We're meeting in the State Capitol Room, number 205. Senators in attendance are Senator Stevens, Senator Hughes, Senator Machicki, Senator Begich, and myself, Chair Holland. We have a quorum to conduct business. Thank you to Kelsey, our moderator, and Jeannie, our recording secretary today. As a reminder, please silence your cell phones. We have two items on today's agenda. We will begin by hearing from Danette Peterson, the governor's appointee to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. Ms. Peterson, can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning. Ms. Peterson, please state your name and affiliation for the record, then tell us a little bit about yourself and why you would like to serve on the commission.
Thank you, Chair Holland and Senators. I'm getting a bit of a feedback, so hopefully I'll be able to adjust. My name is Danette Peterson. I am in Fairbanks, Alaska, and my name was put forth by the Fairbanks Education Association for this appointment, and it is with great humility that I have been nominated by Governor Dunleavy to serve on PTPC, Professional Teaching Practices Commission, and I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you this morning. A little bit about myself and background. I was born in the Chicagoland area and raised there. I attended high school in Downers Grove, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. I attended the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where I got a BA in political science. From there, I attended Chicago Kent College of Law and earned a JD. I then practiced law in the Chicago area for approximately 11 years, got my teaching certificate from the National Lewis University, and my master's as a reading specialist and literacy coach from Illinois Benedictine University, and as a lifelong educator. I have attended various classes and programs at UAA and UAF since then. Although education is a second career for me, education has always been a passion. Immediately out of high school, I became a color guard instructor for a local high school and remained there for 20 years while going to college, getting married, and raising four children. While in college, I was a volunteer instructor for the Constitutional Rights Foundation and went into public schools in the Chicagoland area, teaching students about the importance of the Bill of Rights and how it applied to them. So after 11 years of practicing law in the Chicagoland area, I followed my heart and became a secondary educator in DeKalb County. I have taught both high school and middle school, regular education, and gifted education. Presently, I teach at Hutchison High School, which is a CTE program here in Fairbanks. I have taught various high school courses from U.S. history, geography, world history, psychology, government, economics. I have taught both in person and remotely through an art e-learning program here in Fairbanks for the past 4 years. I have been a BP Teacher of the Year nominee for four different years. In addition to teaching, I seek to immerse myself fully in our school community. And for me, that means that I coach We the People. I am also the Interior Coordinator for Speech and Debate, both middle and high school level. I sponsor our National Honor Society here at Hutchison High School. I support students with their National History Day projects, and I facilitated our first ever mayoral candidate forum last year so that students had the opportunity to use their speaking skills and their government skills in real life application and so that the community could benefit from the program that they hosted. Additionally, I have served on two separate curricular committees, with our school district overhauling and rewriting our social studies curriculum. I currently serve on our school's leadership team. I'm a member of UAF School of Education Accreditation Committee. I serve in our Fairbanks Education Association in a variety of ways. I've served on the bargaining team. I'm a member of the board of directors. And for the past 5 years, I have served in a capacity to help teachers understand ethical obligations and to address conflicts between teachers and the school district when they do in fact arise. In that capacity, I've had the opportunity to advise colleagues and to help them avoid common pitfalls that do arise. By way of example, FEA provides a mock parent-teacher conference training session for new teachers before actual parent-teacher conferences so they know how best to avoid conflict and handle some tricky situations that could arise. I'm most proud recently of being a person who wrote a grant through NEA and received funds to start a early career education mentoring program here in Fairbanks. It is our very first year, and what a year for us to start a program. But I felt that it was really important for early career educators in their first 3 years to have a mentor to support them, to share their knowledge and resources, to help them develop and grow, and to retain teachers here in Alaska. Teacher retention is a really important issue across the nation, and mentoring programs have certainly been one key piece to address that. And so I'm very excited that we will be able to continue that program for at least 2 to 3 more years. On a personal note, my husband and I moved to Fairbanks in 2010 with our 4 children. Our eldest son is a sophomore at UAF. Our daughter, who is 15, is a freshman at West Valley High School. And the twins are in 7th grade at Randy Smith Middle School. In my spare time, I enjoy rock climbing, hiking, biking, gardening, and on sunny summer days, floating down the Chena River. As an educator, it is my mission in my classroom to get all of my students to understand that they, more than anything else, need to walk out of our buildings and enter our communities as active, informed citizens. It is a key aspect of maintaining any democracy. And for me, that means more than just voting once every 4 years. It means giving back to the community, sharing resources, knowledge, and talents with others. In my classes, we don't debate, we discuss civilly. It is important for students to understand that any issue worth discussing, that there are two sides, if not more, of the issue to understand, and that it is important to listen for the purpose of understanding, not merely responding. I want my students to feel empowered. I want my fellow colleagues to feel empowered. In part, that is what moved me to help create this early career education mentor program through NEA. I want teachers who are excellent teachers who have talents to share and knowledge to support those early career educators so that they do feel empowered and so that they can serve Alaska's children in the best way possible. I want those early career educators to develop and stay in Alaska and be a vital part of our education community. I believe that it's important in the education profession that we all act professional in all aspects, including our ability to monitor and discipline its own members. This is similar to what lawyers and doctors do. No one relishes disciplining a fellow member of the profession. But the reality is, at times, it's required in order to uphold the high standards required of the profession and to benefit the children of Alaska and residents. PTPC offers a unique opportunity to bring that professionalism to action. with 5 teachers, 1 principal, 1 superintendent, 1 member of higher education, and 1 member of DEED. PTPC offers diverse backgrounds and unique perspectives, but all 9 members act with one common goal: to provide the best education possible for Alaska's most important resource, its children. I interviewed with the governor's staff just before the pandemic hit. And frankly, there are many times that I've thought back on that conversation because so much has changed. The pandemic and the way that the education community responded has presented new challenges, but also many new opportunities. PTPC may anticipate seeing complaints that are somewhat unique to our pandemic, but I also hope and I welcome the opportunity to engage in discussions with educators across the state and the nation as we seek to preserve some of the best aspects of teaching that resulted from the pandemic. I personally have seen students that did not thrive in our brick and mortar classrooms succeed in remote learning. We shouldn't forget the lessons that we've learned through this pandemic and return to old ways that didn't necessarily serve all students. The pandemic has shined a light on the importance of education and the diverse community needs that are met by educational institutions. I hope to use my legal skills and educational background to serve on PTPC to benefit the children of Alaska and all members of the state. Chair Holland, I thank you for this opportunity, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Peterson. Impressive resume. The committee members have your resume in front of us, and your accomplished attorney, accomplished educator, awards nominee, and grant recipient, impressive background. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say this is one of the finest interviews I've heard. I really appreciate your telling us your story. I appreciate your, as you said, your change of heart to leave a profession that you're obviously good at as an attorney and then go into teaching. That's really remarkable. I think the other thing that's really important is that this is a crucial committee that our commission that can, in fact, remove certification for teachers to get in trouble. You made it clear that you understand those issues of discipline, and I'm comfortable hearing that you certainly would do that job. I think this is clearly that you know what you're getting into, and I think you'll do a wonderful job there. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Danette.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Senator Hughes?
Chair, thank you, Senator.
Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, Danette. I, too, was really impressed with your resume, and one of the things I liked about it is I see a real development both the left and right side of the brain with your science tech background, legal background, and then moving over into mentoring and scouts and that side of the brain, and I would just say I think you're almost overqualified for this. I'd like to perhaps see you someday on our State Board of Education. So, but one of the things I was really impressed, and with the chair's permission, we're going to be hearing SB 72 regarding civics education. And I'm looking down, you've done We the People Citizenship, Freedom Foundation Scholarship, Congress in the Classroom, We the People Fair Elections. You were a voting liaison in the borough, We the People Coach for Tananaw Middle School. I am just wondering if you have had a chance to look at SB 72 and if you have any input of what might be helpful throughout our state in regard to civics education. You seem to have really developed that part, and I also want to thank you for the input you've had in that area in Fairbanks. So do you have any thoughts on civics education in our state? And I understand, Mr. Chair, this isn't exactly related to the PTPC, but it's still something important to this committee. If I have your permission, Mr. Chair, to ask this question on her thoughts about civics education.
Ms. Peterson?
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I will be very honest and tell you I have not looked at SB 72. However, a year ago, I was a member of the curriculum committee that overwrote our social studies curriculum here in Fairbanks, and we moved toward competency instead of just standards. And we spent a lot of time looking at civics because it was something that the public, when we did surveys, really wanted to be addressed more fully. And I think in our political climate, that having civil discourse and really infusing civics not in a single course, not just in government, not just in legal systems. We rewrote our curriculum here in Fairbanks to infuse a civics component in each and every course that is taught and required for graduation. We didn't want students to feel that, you know, just voting once every 4 years was enough. We really wanted them to see examples of how they could be engaged in civics, and part of that means bringing in guest speakers. So I brought in Supreme Court Justice Sue Carney to help with our We the People. I've done We the People since. I tendered my resume with Hutchinson's High School, and we were all set to go to nationals with West Valley, and of course the pandemic happened. But we are going to continue to do that. At Hutchinson High School, we participate in We Kids Voting, We the People, National History Day. It has to be a way of life and a habit, not a single course that they can check off and say, I did it and I'm ready to graduate.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Senator Begich?
No.
All right, are there any other questions or comments from the committee? Seeing none, Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Danette Peterson, appointee to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, be forwarded to a joint session of the legislature for consideration.
I'm sorry, Senator Stevens, brief aside. Back on the record, Senator Stevens, would you please withdraw your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of course, I withdraw my motion.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. I will now open for public testimony. The hearing of the appointee, Danette Peterson, is now open to public testimony. Is there any member of the public wishing to testify on the appointment of Danette Peterson to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission? Seeing none in the room and seeing none online, I'm going to close public testimony. Public testimony is now closed. Now, Senator Stevens, would you care to make a motion?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. Now that this is appropriate at this moment, I move that Danette Peterson, appointee of the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, be forwarded to a joint session of the legislature for consideration.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Please note for the record that voting on this motion or signing the committee report does not reflect any intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of these individuals during the joint session. Is there any objection to forwarding Ms. Peterson's name to the joint session? Hearing none, the motion passes. A brief at ease to sign the report. Next, we will bring Senate Bill 72 regarding secondary school civics education back in front of the committee. Committee previously adopted version B as our working document and heard public testimony on this bill. Senator Stevens, do you have any further remarks?
Well, yes, Mr. Chairman, simply to say that we have we passed the CS? Have we accepted the CS?
Brief aside.
Appreciate that. So what we have in front of us in this CS is removing the need for passing an exam, but rather simply taking it, and I'm glad to explain that. redirecting the Department of Education to develop our own unique Alaska civics curriculum and assessment, and recognize the importance of including Alaska Native tribal governance systems into our education program.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Are there any other comments from the committee? Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am known for being forthright, so I'm going to put on the record, I actually prefer the previous version. And I do think it's great that civics would be incorporated. I am just concerned about a teacher having students that know they don't have to actually pass something, they just have to take something. And so I'm just hoping that won't be a problem for teachers, because students might not be as engaged and focused, knowing that they might have to take a test. Also, I am knowing that sometimes some courses are taken at the freshman level, and then they might be taking a government course. Some districts require that later, and then to take the test where some of the stuff, some of the questions might be from 3 or 4 years ago, I think might be a little bit tough if they're taking, for instance, their freshman year Alaska history with Alaska Native Studies, and they might have trouble passing that part of the test. But in general, when I heard probably one of the most articulate and passionate speeches by our Commissioner Johnson regarding this bill of how necessary this was, I just think that holding students a little more accountable to make sure that they would actually pass the test would be better. This is an improvement than not having civics education at all, and I really appreciate the sponsor bringing it forward. And I know the feedback that we got from the districts, and I understand that, and I'm guessing that's why we're not requiring anything. You know, we're posting up something on the student's transcript that they've taken the test. I prefer that it would state whether they would pass, or whether they passed it or failed it, even if that wouldn't prevent them from graduating, because I think pride for some students might motivate them if they knew it was going to show up on their transcript that they failed something. That might motivate them to really get on the ball and be more engaged in the study portion with the teachers. I just don't want to hand teachers a problem, and hopefully districts will work this out, and some may actually may decide to grade it and incorporate it in an overall grade, for instance, for a government class. So I'm hoping that districts will decide to do that. So I just wanted to say that on the record. I admire the senators had some fantastic bills, and I think overall this is better than the current status where there's possibly no civics being taught, or very minimally in some districts. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Senator Stevens.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, if I could respond to that, I really appreciate what the Senator has said, and those are very important issues. At first, we thought that it should be a high-stakes test, and but as we learned from the communities, there's certain problems with that. I would say that the real key thing about this CS now is that the Department of Education will develop curriculum and assessment, so that should be, as our prior the applicant that we were just talking to indicated, it's great. It's best to have that presented throughout the curriculum, not just in one single class. I would ask, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, ask Tim Lampkin to come forward to discuss how we've gotten to this point where we decided to remove the passing an exam from the bill.
Certainly. Follow up from Senator.
I just want to make one point. I think it is good at the very end of the bill, the student performance by district on the assessment will be reported to the legislature. So even though it is not a requirement that the student get a certain grade to get a diploma, we will be learning how they're doing their performance. So I think that is a good feature. So I just wanted to mention that. So it's not like they'll just take the tests and throw them in the trash. They will have to actually grade them and report to us how well they're performing on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lampkin. If you'd state your name and affiliation and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Thank you for these questions. Before you is a bill that reflects some discussions with the department, commissioner in particular, also addresses concerns addressed in the past regarding high-stakes exams. So this seemed like a reasonable approach to first and foremost, put a greater emphasis on our standards and an offer curriculum developed by Alaskans, as well as our own unique assessment that could be applied and offered to school districts, and that assessment be taken and not necessarily passed. It's first going to trigger a review of our content standards that are in existence on government and citizenship. They were adopted in 2006, and so it's a policy and timely to take them up and review them and adjust them accordingly to reflect, of course, our indigenous people, Alaska, and their systems of government as well. That's the crux of the bill in front of you, and I'm happy to answer any further questions. We've also got the department online if you'd like to refer to them.
Senator Hughes.
Yeah, I do have a question. As a member of this committee, I should know this. I'm embarrassed I don't. But do we have a requirement right now for graduation across the state that students have to take some kind of Alaska history or Alaska government or a government class? Or is that district by district? I know many districts do require government. I'm just wondering what the state requirement is.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, at this time there is not a state requirement for that. There are certain districts that require a half a unit, which is a semester, or a full unit, a full year of government and history and that sort of thing. But it is district by district. There's currently no state requirement, and I'm sure the department's online to help confirm that.
All right, thank you. Senator Michicki.
Yeah, thank you. I actually echo the concerns of Senator Hughes, but a recent conversation I had with another senator was about getting our foot in the door on something that's important and then proving its value over time and then getting to the point of where we can test so that we know they're retaining that information. And this goes way back. I mean, I read the Forbes article. Lincoln talked about not only practicing but teaching their children reverence for the Constitution and its laws, lest the American democracy degenerate into what he called mobocratic rule, and also encouraged reverence, not only teaching the Constitution and its laws, but reverence for them. And Reagan's farewell address, he echoed Lincoln in its call for informed patriotism. And I'll tell you, in that article, it also talked about the fact there's a generational divide. 74% of senior citizens can pass the test, but only 19% of Americans under the age of 45 can answer even 6 of the 10 questions correctly. So I think part of the division in our country is based on an essential misunderstanding of how our government works and how it functions, and I think it causes part of the mistrust in our government because we the people do not realize the power that they hold because they don't understand the workings of our government itself. So I think it's incredibly important. I'm very supportive of the bill, but I do wish we would have pushed for a test. I'm certainly not going to get in the way of the bill, and maybe a foot in the door is the right path at this time.
Thank you, Senator Michicki. With no other comments from the committee, we have some invited testimony from Julie Truskowski.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, please state your name and your affiliation and begin your testimony.
Sure. Senator Holland and fellow committee members, thank you for the opportunity to comment on the important subject of reinvigorating civics in education in our public schools. My name is Julie Truskowski. I'm a retired National Board Certified Teacher with 28 years of experience in Alaska, including 8 years teaching in rural villages, along with 20 years in elementary and middle schools in Anchorage. I'm currently the state coordinator for the We the People program. It's a happy coincidence that I'm following Danette Peterson, who I had the pleasure of working with at the 2019-2020 We the People state competition in Fairbanks. We the People is a nationally recognized curriculum from the Nonpartisan Center for Civic Education that teaches civic competence and responsibility. Several of your fellow legislators have participated in the program as judges for the high school state competition. I bring this to your attention today because it aligns with Dr. Johnson's statement during the last meeting of educating for a purpose. The We the People program checks off quite a few boxes for learning and assessing knowledge of civics and the Constitution. The curriculum culminates with mock congressional hearings in which groups of students prepare testimony to open-ended civics and constitution-based questions and then respond to questions from judges. Students spend time researching information, looking at the structure of government, studying Supreme Court cases, the Federalist Papers, the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution itself. Those of you who have participated in the mock hearings can attest to the strength of this program. It truly is educating for a purpose. Also, in this era of unfunded mandates and austere budgeting, the We the People program is cost-effective in that it already exists in many communities. A quick check of the center's textbook archives from 2000 to the present shows that around 25 or so communities in the state already have We the People materials on hand, from many schools in Anchorage, in the Anchorage and Fairbanks school districts, to smaller schools in communities like Shegaluk, Metlakatla, Delta Junction, and Chivac. In those schools, there should already be sets of textbooks that can be immediately used with no need to spend funds on additional resources. This may be useful information to have on hand as you move forward if it's SB 72. Thank you for your time and for your work in getting civics education back into the spotlight.
Thank you, Mr. Truskowski. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, and I appreciate all you're doing with We the People. Julie, could you comment on this issue we've been thinking about, talking about the last few minutes, the high stakes versus removing the need for passing an exam? What would be your position from your experience on that issue?
I do think that kids, if they're held, if they know that they have an accountability piece at the end, they definitely will up their game. I kind of agree with Senator Hughes. If you just have something hanging out there with no accountability piece, it's easy to overlook. And I think that might be what's happened with civics education and why it's kind of fallen off the radar as districts try to, you know, allocate funds for this and the other. Social studies in general is kind of this unfunded mandate that that just isn't doesn't have that accountability piece, and so gets overlooked and pushed aside. So I do like the idea of some kind of an accountability. I don't necessarily like the idea of having it be something like the questions on the immigration test, because it promotes sort of rote learning instead of internalizing and being able to articulate what they've learned in a different way, which is what We the People does.
Thank you, Ms. Truskowski. Senator Hughes.
Thank you for your insightful comments. I'm just wondering, is We the People a program, is that an after-school program, or is that during the school day? And have any states or districts, states around the country or districts around the country or here in Alaska that have a requirement for civics and have adopted and used We the People as the curriculum to meet that requirement?
As to your comment about schools around the nation, from my knowledge, I haven't looked this up recently, but at the last meeting, the meeting of the National State Coordinators, Florida does have a requirement for a civics test for graduation. And Nevada recently got legislative funding for We the People to be taught in all the schools. Currently, it really can't be taught as an after-school program. It really needs to be incorporated into curriculum. It can be U.S. government. It can be history. When I taught eighth grade at Golden View Middle School, the fourth quarter of our curriculum in social studies in eighth grade was devoted to We the People, and we had at the middle school level a school competition and then a district showcase using We the People. So it is, diving into it, it can be time-consuming, but it can also be tailored to fit. I taught it, for instance, in sixth grade. I didn't do all six units. I just focused on one unit and had sort of mini congressional hearings. So it can be tailored to shorter amounts of time. This year, the We the People State competition looked different than it has ever before because it was virtual. Only one school was able to participate. That was West Valley, with teacher Amy Galloway. And what we ended up doing was, with her class that never met in person, which is amazing, we just did two of the six units, and we just did two of the three questions in those units. And so we made it work for us. It took us out of the running to be able to go to nationals, but it was so important to have the kids participate and have a positive experience and learn all the, not just the information, but learn how to work together, how to have civil discourse, how to think on their feet, because We the People has 4 minutes of prepared testimony and 6 minutes of questions from the judges that they don't have any information in advance about.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Truskowski. And with no more questions from the committee, we have a few people calling in. We'll reopen public testimony on this, and we'll move to David Neese. Mr. Neese, please state your name and begin your testimony.
Yeah, David Neese, retired teacher, student council person for years, and a fan of Senator Stevens' civics bill, which he's been trying, I think, about a decade to get through here. The bill you have in front of you is a pretty good bill. The pulling out of the citizenship test out of it as a requirement pretty much pulls the teeth out of the bill. I agree with Senator Hughes and Michiki. The districts usually go, it's an unfunded mandate. So the argument is, do you make it a stick or do you make it a carrot? So one of the ways you can get around this is to allow, like districts do for sports, for the kids to earn their PE credit by taking a sport outside. You could allow students to get their civics social studies credit by passing the citizenship test. And then that frees up a hole in their schedule. It accomplishes both tasks. It allows the students to be motivated. One of the other things you could do is you could put it in there as, you know, it's a regular credit. If you don't take the test, counted as an honors credit if you do pass the test. I mean, your choice is always a stick or carrot. And I think it's really important to try to motivate the children. And I guess the third option you could have is allow the people that were just speaking in front of me, We the People, which both my children participated in, to have the opportunity for that to get that credit too. So trying to get kids motivated to be active, the best thing to do is give them a carrot rather than a stick. And that's just my ideas on the substitute.
Thank you, Mr. Neese. We also have Joanna Wasili. Ms. Wasili, if you can hear me, please state your name and begin your presentation.
Yes, my name is Joanna Wasili. I'm calling in from White Mountain in the Bering Strait School District, and I appreciate the opportunity to make this statement.
We're hearing you loud and clear.
And may I proceed?
Yes, please.
I very much appreciated some of the comments that Jeanette Peterson made earlier. As I'm a high school and middle school social studies and language arts teacher, and I'm actually currently teaching government class to my students. And I really liked what Ms. Peterson had said about civics components being taught across the curriculum starting in younger grades. I truly do believe that civics is an important part of citizenship and personal development. It's something that we all seem to agree is needing to be bolstered in our state as well as our country. And I think that if we truly want to make citizenship an intrinsic value and an intrinsic strength in our state, we need to start at the younger grades and find civics components that can follow them up into the high school level. And as far as the testing component goes, my worry in requiring the passing of a test as an alternative to taking a course is that it would become more rote learning, something that maybe won't be kept as an intrinsic and lifelong practice for some of our students. So that's why I really like the idea of incorporating civic standards across curriculum at all grade levels. And that's all I wanted to say. I really like the We the People curriculum. I haven't started it yet, but I was actually going to start looking at it for next year for my middle school students and building them up and following them through with it up into high school.
Thank you, Ms. Wasili. Next would be Christine Hutchison. Ms. Hutchinson, if you can hear me, please state your name and begin your presentation. Ms. Hutchinson, give us a second. You're coming through fairly difficult to hear. Could you try speaking a little bit louder or try speaking directly into the phone? Try that again.
I haven't said anything yet.
Okay. You're loud and clear now.
Thank you, Senator Holland, for taking this testimony. And you need to know up front, one of the senators there describes me as a very highly functional crazy person. I am crazy about civics government, civics education for our children and our adults. And this is, I've participated with the local school board curriculum committee with regard to social studies twice, 2013 and 2019. And the standards are not just teaching civics education to the standards is not sufficient. We need a requirement that this be taught. I was not fully aware of We the People, but I am now aware of the concept, and I will research it. One of the nice things that it seems about it is the hands-on use of it and the development within the children of the ability to speak on their feet, speak intelligently and coherently on their feet. That's very useful. But I would like to see some kind of testing. I am not believing that lowering the standards for any purposes is useful. My daughter attended the Northern Lights Elementary School in Anchorage, and her daughters now attend that school. It's a school, it's a public school, charter alternative, of very high expectations, extremely high. And if you don't meet those expectations, you do not survive. And that is a recourse of civics education. If we don't know this stuff and be able to practice it, if we can't read and study our Constitution, learn it, teach it to others in our homes and on the street, and assert it and defend it, we are going to be in a very sad state, as Senator Michicki just outlined. I'm very hopeful, I'm very encouraged that this bill will get all the way through both houses of the legislature and go on to be law. It's very critical that we have a requirement of civics education. And I would like, I will today, contact my local school district and find out what part we the people play in our local education. And if I like what I see, this crazy person is going to take it all the way to the end. So I very much appreciate your vote bringing this up, Senator Stevens. I've followed Senator Stevens' work with the task force set up by Wes Keller many years ago. I followed that. I have a copy of the report, provided the report to my local school district. And I am here to say this needs to pass. This is a feel-good, limited fiscal issue. And there's great benefit long-term from the passage of this bill out of the Senate, out of the House, and into the statutes. Thank you very much. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you, Ms. Hutchinson. Comment or question from Senator Michicki?
Yeah, without giving away my my title for Ms. Hutchinson. We've talked about this a little bit. I really appreciate you calling in and engaging on this subject. And I'd be curious what you find out from our district about what they are delivering right now. I actually don't know that answer, so please feel free to share it with the committee when you find out what the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District has in play right now.
You can count on it.
Thank you, Ms. Hutchinson. Thank you, Senator Michicki. With no other questions before the committee, I will close public testimony. And so we also have Director Van Wy with Deed and Operations Manager Deb Riddle with Deed available for any questions the committee may have. But at this time, is there any further discussion from the committee? Seeing none, are there any amendments for the bill? Seeing none, what is the will of the committee? Senator Stevens?
Mr. Chairman, I move that 32-LS0478-B, the committee substitute for SB 72, be advanced from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Without objection, SB 72 version B has passed from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. This concludes our scheduled business. We have one more item to address shortly, but we'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Committee is back on the record. We have one more item to address. We've had several bills in front of the committee lately, and we have one more item to address. Senator Stevens, would you care to make the motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee approve the 32-LS0485-W as a Senate Education Committee bill for introduction to the Senate.
Is there any objection?
I object.
Senator Begich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you were starting to mention, there are a number of different bills before the body dealing with the general subject. I think that the power that you would be granted under this motion would give you to introduce. And I had hoped that the process that the Senate President had initiated would have led us to a place where we could have a piece of legislation that all members of the committee could support. And I've seen a draft of the bill. You and I have discussed it at length, and I've discussed it with your staff. I've identified a number of areas within that bill that I believe are deeply problematic, that don't reflect the bills that were discussed in committee and testified to over four different hearings. And I want to be clear on the record that while the bill that will come before us is a committee bill, it is not a committee bill that I can support at this time. I'm a member of this committee, and therefore, at this bill will have my name on it. And I want the public to know that at this time, not only do I not support the bill, that I'm going to be speaking to why I don't support the bill as we go through the process, with the hope that perhaps the bill that finally comes out of this committee is one that I can support. I take this role on this committee that I have seriously, as I know each of you do. We represent the leadership of this body on this committee, the president, the minority leader, the majority leader, and the rules chair. We have identified that the key components, based on years and years and years of research and work, both in-state and out-of-state, focus on certain elements that have to come together to make working legislation that has a meaningful impact on families. At this time, having extensively and personally reviewed the drafts, having discussed those with you, I just don't see it here. I'll offer my questions and comments to the sectional and bill languages. I want to be on the record expressing those concerns and obligations, but at this time I now withdraw my objection.
Thank you, Senator Begich. Is there any further discussion? Without objection, without further objection, the motion passes. Is there any other business before the committee? Seeing none, our next meeting is Friday, March 26th at 9 a.m. Hearing no other business, we're adjourned at 9:55.